Well, it's very nice to look out on the auditorium this evening and see a few new faces with us. We're going to be led in prayer tonight by a couple of our elders and Brother Andrew Rouse, our church caretaker, and Andrew West, who with Angela just led us in singing. And so a couple of these men have their wives with them, and so our little congregation is growing. That's very encouraging. We are going to need to take the time this evening to address the matter of our trying to phase back in to as much of our public ministry as we can. And I have a PowerPoint that we'll use tonight in connection with this. And I want at the beginning to express a real appreciation to Pastor Rush for his guidance and helping with the leadership of this through these weeks, and this is actually primarily his PowerPoint. Yesterday, our elders met, and we gave a good bit of discussion last night to what we're going to be presenting this evening. And this morning, as I began to prepare to be able to present this to the church tonight, was talking with Pastor Rush, turned out that he had a PowerPoint prepared. I think he had it for some other purpose, perhaps presentation to a smaller group of people, but took that and worked with it a little bit today, and really want to credit him with the majority of what we're going to look at tonight. So you can see there that this is entitled Our Plan for Resuming Our Gathered Church Worship. And I want to talk you through this. We will put all of this in writing for you, so you'll have a document that you'll be able to review and look to have your questions answered as they come up. But I guess in the interest of our whole church thinking through this together and hearing explanations for the various points and all hearing the same thing at the same time, there probably is real value in that for our church. So could be a little tedious tonight, and I apologize for that. I'm not trying to be negative on the front end and posture everybody with a negative attitude, but just want you to know that I certainly understand that, but it's probably going to be helpful to us. So we're going to begin tonight with some preliminary considerations, and these are things that guided us at the very beginning when it came to the discontinuation of our public services. And one was the recognition that we're just in an unprecedented time. There's no one, really no one in the world, who has ever experienced what we've been dealing with for the last few months, and certainly no Christian churches. So it helps, I think, then to recall the considerations that led us to the mode that we've been in now for a couple of months. One, of course, was our concern for everyone's health. And that's a very justifiable consideration, as I'm sure you agree. There are also these two considerations, guidelines from our state government, which we've been trying to stay alert to, as well as our testimony in the neighborhood. And when our elders first discussed this whole matter, these were the kinds of things that we gave a good bit of talk to. As we have thought about the resumption of on-site services, there are various resources that Pastor Rush in particular has been referencing, keeping up with. One of them, of course, are the federal and the state and the local government guidelines that have been being issued. And you understand, just as we understand, that there's not absolute clarity when it comes to these things, and the different voices express differing views. That's certainly true across the country, and you're aware of the fact that people are becoming really embroiled with each other because of their viewpoints, and that certainly is not our spirit about it. I think you know that, and not what we want to have as a church. So we're doing the best we can to winnow through that and take the most reasonable, justifiable considerations insofar as we can tell. Then you've got the CDC, Centers for Disease Control guidelines that are frequently mentioned by our governor, and because he does mention them, then that gives those things maybe particular relevance to us. There's our consultation with other churches. There have been two Zoom meetings between leaders of five churches in the area, sister churches, Faith Baptist Church and Morningside and Cornerstone and our church, and then University Baptist in Clemson, pastored by one of our former deacons, Brent Cook. And it's been very helpful to consult together and to hear what each staff is thinking about. In addition to that, Pastor Rush sat in on a quite lengthy meeting like that with pastors across the country. And the leadership of that was through Tim Potter, who is up in Ohio, and a lot of good discussion there. And we've had input from other churches and pastors as well. I have an insurance agent that I was talking to today, and turns out that she attends another fundamental church in the area, and she was sharing with me what they're doing. So that was another little touch point that we've had. So we really have tried to take advantage of a multiplicity of minds on this. And of course, the medical professionals within our church, primarily Drs. Kendall and Dahlhausen, have given us their viewpoints and input about these kinds of things. And our elder board, and the time that we spent discussing all of this. So I want you to know that what we're presenting tonight is coming from the gleaning of as much wisdom as we know how to access. So we have a three-phased plan for resuming our gathered worship, and I'll just tick down through this in general, and then it'll be the first phase that we'll talk about in some detail, because that phase is going to be right on us within a couple of weeks here. For this week and the following week, we would like to continue just as we are with no changes and just live streaming our three services a week like we've been doing. A number of the churches in the area are going ahead and starting back up in one mode or another this coming Lord's Day. Our leadership felt like we would like to kind of lag behind by a couple of weeks and just get input from those other ministries as they go along. And undoubtedly, there are going to have to be changes along the way and nuances. And we thought we were doing quite well with what we're doing. We've been doing something a little different than most of the churches. Most of the churches have pretty much been having one live service a week. In some cases, it hasn't even been live streamed like this, because they actually don't have the equipment and the people to do that. But then for their other services, they've either been playing a recorded message or small groups or something of that nature. But we've been able to maintain our three regular services. And I think for the most part that you folks have felt the ministry of that to you. And so we maybe don't have the same sense of urgency at this point. So we're looking at the next 2 weeks, just staying right in the mode that we're in. That'll give us good time to prepare and time as well to just see what happens out there in society as a lot of things open up. Then in terms of our first phase, which will be minimal, we're looking at giving three Lord's Days to it, the last one of May and the first two of June. And then if all goes well, we're looking then at the next 2 weeks or possibly even 3 weeks, moving into a second phase, a little more ministry going on. And it would be really wonderful, wouldn't it, if about the middle of July we pretty much could resume everything. That doesn't mean that when we do that, that it'll all be the same as it's always been. It pretty obviously won't be. But we may be able to have pretty much the full spectrum of ministries on an adjusted basis, is the idea. And when it comes to all those phases, the live streaming of the three services a week will continue just like it is now. So whatever we're doing down here on site won't alter what you have access to there in your homes. And that's a real important point to remember. And I want to just underscore tonight, say it again, whatever we do here in our transitional phasing, the live streaming is still going to be available. That's our intent. right there, service by service. So you would not have to come on site for the ministry at all through any of this phasing back in. Okay, let's talk about that first phase and what we're anticipating. And first of all, what we're looking at is going to a morning service that is live on site and an evening service that, again, is live on site. And the times for those would be our regular times, 10:30 and 5:30. And they would be two different services, would not be the same service done twice. Okay, many of the churches, the way they're phasing in is they're going to have one service on Sunday, but they're going to repeat it, or they're going to do it a third time, so it'll just be one service. We're going to have two services, one in the morning, one in the evening, like we normally would, but we're going to have to divide our congregation so that we can get the distancing between people that seems to be the prudent thing and what is advised by everyone. So we've got the church pretty well divided numerically. Works out pretty neatly between, that should be A through K and L through Z. Sorry about that. Don't get confused. That's A through K, okay, and L through Z. And you can see we're looking at the first half of the alphabet in the mornings and the second half of the alphabet in the evenings. Now, that doesn't have to be real ironclad, and wants you to know that. And when you come, it isn't that there's going to be somebody at the door checking your ID to see if you fall into the proper alphabetic category. But that's just, in general, for the most part, the way it would work pretty well for our congregation to divide up. And then we'll alternate week by week. So the first week, the A to K people would come in the morning, and the next week they could come in the evening. But again, you know what kind of adjustments you may need to make on that. And we'll have some flex along the way. We won't have any Sunday school, no on-site Sunday school. And let me just pause and say this about our thinking about the Sunday schools on the adult level. Everything that we have thought regarding the Sunday schools is predicated upon the supposition that whatever the Sunday schools do, they ought all be able to do it. So that, for instance, you don't have one Sunday school class and you know, they're into a fully charged mode and enjoying various fellowships and certain kinds of things, and the other adult Sunday schools just can't pull that off. We feel like it's very important that everybody stay pretty much shoulder to shoulder through the Sunday school classes, and that what we open up for one of them to do, we make possible for all of them to have the opportunity to do. So initially here, it'll be real helpful to everybody that we not try to have any opening up of the Sunday schools. And on Wednesday evenings, it'll remain just as it is right now. So for this first phase, those three Lord's days, the Wednesdays in between, we'll be doing what we're doing right now tonight. There'll be no on-site service. We'll continue our live streaming though. Okay, you want to take a look at that? Any questions? Isn't it nice that you can't ask any questions? Oh, there are some questions, okay? Okay, take a look at that again. The alphabetical, it's A through L and M through Z. Okay, does that help? Nod your head. At home, go ahead. All the kids, nod your head. Got it. Okay, A through L, M through Z. You take a look at that. That's not confusing, right? It's real simple. First phase, we're only going to one new thing. An on-site morning service, an on-site evening service. Okay? All right. Now, we're going to have to go through some precautions and some directions and some additional directions, and this is where it could get just a little tedious, but again, I think it's real helpful to run down through this first. We do want to encourage our folks who are 65 and over, at-risk categories, just not to come. Now, you can come, but we don't want you to feel any pressure, or we want you to know that no one in the leadership would think, wow, I expected, you know, her to be a really mature Christian and exercise a lot of faith and show up. I don't understand why she's so protective. We do understand why you're so protective, and we're encouraging it, actually, okay? So that's why Linda and I will not be coming, because we're both over 65. No, I'm serious. We're coming, okay? But I'm throwing that in to make this point. Just because you see us and you know that we fall into that category, we're here. That's not trying to send a signal to you, hey, you ought to follow our example and you ought to show up. You know your health. You know your circumstance. There are factors about your health that are private to you that perhaps nobody else in this congregation knows anything about. It's you and your physician. So you make that call, but that's what we want to encourage you to be. We want to encourage you folks to be careful. Okay, secondly, this is not encouragement. This is like, come on, folks, this is mandate. If you're sick, don't show up. All right, if you're in the mode, come that first Lord's Day morning and you're thinking, well, you know, I don't feel quite right, but maybe I could go. No, don't go. All right, stay home, watch the live streaming, and be protective of everybody else. Some things here about what we're going to have to do in the auditorium. First of all, we're going to use extensive ushering. So when you come, there will be ushers that will seat you. And the reason for that, of course, is, as it's stated there, we will try to keep you appropriately at distance as families or couples or individuals. Right now, we're pretty much thinking about seating every other pew and at least two seats between families, you know, about 6 feet or so there. And of course, we have no idea how many folks will actually be here. So as large as our auditorium is and getting our congregation divided up, we may do real well on being able to keep the distancing. But initially here, we are going to let our ushers really help us with that. Then we will we'll continue with some designated families or couples who are leading us in our congregational singing. But here's an aspect of getting back together that nobody is really sure about. When I say nobody, I'm talking about other pastors, music ministers. No one is quite certain about the degree of safety of getting a lot of people together, and they're all real heartily singing and expelling air. All right? You'd have people who would say, I think it's safe. And it may be, but we are in the realm of I think. Okay, we're in the realm of people's opinion, because we've not been through this before. Nobody has. Nobody in the world has really faced exactly this kind of thing. So most of the pastors are being pretty careful about this. In some cases, they're just not going to have congregational singing. They'll put words up on a screen. They'll have an instrument playing the music, or they'll have somebody leading, but just asking their people to look at the words and follow along, or maybe to hum. We'll get a better feel for that, maybe, by the time we phase in. And right now, we're hoping that maybe at least people can sort of sing to themselves like you do at home. And we'll have, but, you know, we want to continue to have our music, but we may have to make a little adjustment there on that. Okay, a couple more considerations. We won't pass offering plates. We'll continue to use the offering boxes, the online giving. And then let's come to a second issue that's a pretty big issue, and maybe for a lot of people this is the biggest one, and that's the issue of these masks. Okay. As far as we can tell, it's just pretty much recommended across the board by civic officials, medical people, that their recommendation is the wearing of masks. Let me tell you what helps me about this. And I have not gone out all that often, but when I go out, I do take a mask and I do wear it. And my thinking, as far as what I hear, what we understand, is this, that my wearing a mask isn't really going to be that protective of me from someone else, but that it does mean that it's more probable that I wouldn't infect someone else if I had, you know, if I was asymptomatic, but I actually had the virus. So the way I try to think about it is this: if I go to Lowe's or I go to a grocery store, I'm not thinking I'm going to put a mask on because the whole air is full of this virus, and putting this mask on is going to be the big filter, and now it won't get me. I'm basically thinking, I'm trying to show consideration for all these other people. I don't think I've got the virus, but maybe I do. Okay, so I'll put the mask on, and the droplets, if I cough or I sneeze or even my breathing, you know, they're pretty well going to stay confined in my mask. That's our understanding about it. So right now, our leadership does not feel that we should require everybody who comes to wear a mask, but we would like to recommend that. And you know, as soon as you do that, then you've got this situation out there where people feel like, well, okay, if I show up without a mask, then is everybody going to judge me as being unloving and unspiritual? Well, I hope not, okay? That isn't the point of this, but I think you all realize that we're walking a real fine line here now, and we do have to talk about it. So I'm talking about it the best we know how to do, and when you come, the staff will have masks on. We don't have masks right now because we're so distanced from each other, and probably the ushers will, and of course when we're up speaking and that kind of thing, the mask will not be on, but before and after the services and interacting with people, probably doing that. But that's, you know, primarily out of consideration for you that way. So you want to think a little bit about that. Okay, let's talk about children. At this point, no nurseries or children's ministries. And that's pretty much what all the churches are doing. There's a church in town that's an exception on that. They're going to go ahead and probably experiment with trying to phase this in right immediately, but we feel like we're going to have to wait on that. The fireplace room, however, will be available for moms with, you know, fussy children. So it's there. And there will be one nursery room available for nursing mothers or changing diapers type thing. But you can see the situation. When we come down here for our services, we're going to have to keep the children with us here in the auditorium. Few details. We are going to attempt to maintain the distancing. We'll want to all be aware of that. We are going to shorten the services, and we're doing that for several reasons. One is because because of the children, we are going to have all of our children right with us in the auditorium. And then there are at least two other factors that lead to that, and one is the restroom issue. You really can't have the same open bathrooms that you normally would without constant cleansing in there. So we want to encourage minimal use of the bathrooms, and that means that we got to be here on site less time for everybody. So that's a major consideration in shortening down our services. We're going to try to go about an hour and 15 minutes on that. And mainly what that means is we're going to cut the sermons. A lot of you can clap and cheer right now. I know some of you are like, yes, we've been waiting for that for years. And so, be thou happy. But I want to explain that what that will mean, of course, is that we'll just have smaller chunks, smaller bites. But we'll go ahead and proceed with what we're doing in these book studies. Water fountains, not available. So everyone is welcome to bring water bottles, but please clear liquids. Don't bring something that if it's spilled, it stains what we have in here. And I do want to encourage being discreet about this. I mean, you know that when you come for a worship service, you don't just sit back and slug down a coffee, you know, every 4 minutes. There's something about that that just isn't quite right. Even though in our society we've gotten into such a casual approach to worship and meeting with the Lord that nearly anything goes. You're going to have some people, they're actually going to set up a latte station in their pew. But we understand. I mean, we're here for an hour, hour and a half, and some people, you know, really do need to be able to have something with them. So if you do that, if you can just be discreet about it and keep it clear liquids. Do you notice I'm trying to add in a little humor along the way so this doesn't get too boring? Okay, additional details. We do need to avoid lingering in the buildings, and that's why we're going to have the ushers also dismiss people out and help us to get out with the proper distancing. But, you know, once you get outside, you've got a lot more room to rove around in, and out there in the parking lots and so on, you can probably have a lot more opportunity of fellowshipping with each other. We will sanitize the facilities prior to each of the services, and we'll try to be really conscientious about that. We'll have good crews of people helping that, wiping the pews down and all the door handles and that kind of thing. The middle level of the education building, okay, that's down where the offices are, and the bookstore and the music suite will not be open for use on the Lord's Day. I think during the week, right, people are coming sometimes to the bookstore, into the office. Yeah. And you can continue that. But we just felt like at least during this first phase, we need to... You can see what we're doing, folks. We really are trying a minimal approach. We're just trying to get our two services in place and pretty much not have to deal with any other complications initially here. Phase two. Really the only thing there that then would be additional would be our Wednesday night service. That we would go to an on-site Wednesday night service. It would continue to be live streamed as well. Okay? But we would continue with no Sunday school, no nurseries, still would not be able to do the Lord's table because you've got to all handle things that way. So, you see that for those couple of weeks? So when that was over, we'd have our three services again, pretty much in place. So, you can foresee already what phase three would look like. And we are, at that point, trying to add in a lot of these additional things. Now, that one, especially, we want to stay really flexible about. Because you could see that for a couple of weeks, we might phase in some other aspect of ministry, but not four or five others. So we'll have to just all be real patient about those things. Okay, here's some considerations that we've had as we have thought and planned all this. One, we all understand that any approach to this is not going to satisfy all of our expectations. It won't do that for anyone. Here would be an illustration that might help you, and that is going on family vacation with a household of children all the way from a two-year-old right up almost to a young adult. Let's say there are nine of you or six of you. If you're going away for 2 weeks somewhere, let's say you're doing a cross-country trip and you want to end up in Yellowstone Park in Wyoming, you're going to drive from here to there and look at sights all along the way. Nearly everybody in the family has in their heart a little personal agenda. It's not that they're selfish, it's just they're things that, given their age and their interest, they're hoping we can do. Okay. And obviously, mom and dad are trying to take everybody into consideration, trying to make this a happy time for everybody, but nobody's going to get everything that he or she hopes for. It's just going to be a matter of all trying to stay together, stay in the car, and essentially have a nice 2 weeks, and a lot of, you know, some give and take along the way for the sake of everybody. And that's really the way this is. It isn't going to meet all of our needs and all of our expectations on the front end. But I think, you know, as a church, we're all going to be trying to move forward. Our leadership does desire to take a cautious approach, and that's why we're giving an extra 2 weeks. We're kind of trailing behind a lot of what else is going on. Our thought really is that we would prefer not, you'll understand the sense in which I say this, being part of a first wave of kind of experimenting. We'd like to see what goes on out there in general society and the experience that others have, and just give it a little extra time. Thirdly, we're going to need to allow flexibility. So the things that I'm going over tonight, the things that are going to be put in print, that you're going to receive, we may need to nuance along the way. I know you'll understand that. And we want you to feel conscience-free to attend through live streaming only if that really is what is best for you. And please do not let your conscience plague you and cause you to wonder if your relationship with the Lord is going to be questioned, if you're going to look like you're a person lacking faith. Now, you know, obviously, if you're just in the mode, gotten into the mode over the last 2 months of, hey, this is great. I mean, I can get up and go to the refrigerator in the middle of the sermon, eat a piece of fried chicken at Pastor's Third Point. You know, when I want to, I can just lay back on the couch and take a little nap when things get a little boring. And I mean, why would I want to get in my car and go all the way down there anymore? Anyway, this has been really wonderful. Okay, we're probably going to send three elders to talk with you. Okay, good. I got a little laugh out of that. You understand the spirit that I'm talking about here tonight. We know you folks. You know us, your elders. You know the heart of our church. And the fact is that most of you are almost probably right on the edge of impatient to try to get going again. And it's wonderful to have that spirit versus the thing that I just tried to humorously describe as the opposite, okay? But having said that, you do take your situation completely into consideration, and know that if you just feel really best, at least for a time here, of joining us through the live streaming, that everybody understands that. And in the end, what we want to do is show love for other people, because the church isn't just about me as a member. Church is about us. And so we want to continue to really show high regard for each other. We want to cooperate with the protocols that are out there in society and show a deference to those who are in at-risk categories. Okay, I think I've reached the end. That's pretty good. All right, that was a lot, wasn't it? Really too much for anybody to remember. What are the takeaways? That for the next 2 weeks, we're doing what? Same thing we're doing right now. What's the first Lord's Day that we're phasing back in? May 31st. What are we doing that first Lord's Day that we're not doing now? We're holding two services, one in the morning, one in the evening, live services, and you try to come to the one according to where you are in the alphabet with the first letter of your last name. And we're going to try to do that for 3 weeks and see what happens. And we'll send out all this information to you so you can reference it before you come. Okay, you know, this is, I just have this instinct like, anybody have any questions? And then I have to remind myself, they can't ask any questions. They're on the other side of the live streaming. If you really do have any questions that weren't addressed tonight, please shoot them to your elder and let us answer them that way. If you have a major question, probably other people in the congregation do as well. Okay, now there's one other thing that I want to say tonight. And then we're going to have four men come and lead us in prayer this evening, as we've been doing. When Israel was about to cross the Jordan River, The Lord directed them in exactly how to do that. And it involved the priests carrying the ark and approaching the river first. And God gave the directions that the company of people were to keep a distance from the ark of 2,000 cubits. And the Lord said, because you've not come this way before. And the idea seems to be that by keeping a distance, which it was around a half mile, that this great group of people coming could see the terrain and see the ground that they'd be traversing as they went down into the Jordan Rift, and then they could see what happened when the priest stepped into the Jordan with the ark, and so on. It seems to have been just a very pragmatic consideration. The Lord doesn't say anything about the ark is very holy. Y'all stay at a great distance from it. He says, want 2,000 cubits because you haven't been this way before. Okay. Now, this virus is the Lord's doing. It's not, you know, a sacred institution like the tabernacle and its furniture, but it is the Lord's doing. And we don't know where it's going. One thing we do know is it's not going away until the Lord lifts his hand. So as society opens back up and all across the country the churches resume services like we're attempting to do, we've never been this way before. We don't know. So that's one reason that our leadership wants to keep like 2,000 cubits here, okay, between ourselves and what society in general is going to do in the next couple weeks. We've not been this way before. Let's see what's happening. Okay. But the main point here, folks, is that we are attempting, as all of our good Christian brethren are, we are attempting to understand our times with the information that we have, and neither to lag behind or run ahead of the Lord, and to let the Lord not only have his way, which he will, but to be ourselves completely in our hearts, contented with it and subservient to it. And it is the Lord. It isn't the government, and it isn't the virus. These things are means that God uses. It's the Lord who has us in our present circumstance, and it is for our good. And our concern needs to be, are we really seizing this unique situation and gleaning from it what God would have us to harvest at this time? So I want to encourage you again. We may be coming to the end of this mode that we've been in as a church. Insofar as we can foresee, we're going to start phasing this out and coming to its end. But that really isn't our chief concern, is it? Our chief concern is our own soul's good and whether we have learned more about walking with the Lord and whether we have accepted this as, and I don't mean this in the sense of chastisement, but as a good discipline of us as God's people and helping us to pare down to the really essential matters. Do you realize how many people there are in this country who probably for the first time in their marriage lives with their families are actually eating supper together in their home all across this country? As Christian people, how many things are there maybe that are parallels to that for the first time the situation has constrained us to pay more attention to our families, our marriages, our walk with the Lord. How has this worked in our hearts to help us realize afresh the preciousness of a local church? And the way it has brought us to the point where, Lord willing, we would never take it for granted again, because we've seen how easily it can be taken away from us. Surely the Lord would have us to come away from this time, to come out of this time gradually with some really renewed commitments and some fresh perspectives and spirits that have grown in the Lord. And that's my hope for myself and our family, and certainly for all of us in the church family. Well, we're going to have four of our brethren come tonight and lead us in prayer. We have a couple of family, I think prayer requests have been sent out, right? The folks have that, so you can see the needs that are there with individual families, so I won't start to try to work through some of those. But our men are going to come and lead us in prayers regarding categories of need tonight, just as they've been. And again this evening, let's really unite our hearts with them and make this truly a really blessed congregational time of prayer. So men, if you could please come and come to the mics and lead us that way. Brother Brian Collins is going to lead us in prayer. He can begin regarding our missionaries, their needs, and their people. And then you'll be able to tell as you listen to these men the category that they're addressing for us. So, Brother Collins.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great power and goodness, especially in the spread of the gospel throughout the entire world. Lord, we do want to pray, as our Lord has taught us, for your kingdom to come. And we think about the missionaries from our assembly who are in all corners of the globe and who have seen people come to Christ, who have seen churches established, who are discipling people to walk in your ways. And we thank you that you are using us and you are using them to see your kingdom spread around the world. Lord, we pray for these missionaries and their families, that you would give them all safety and good health during this time. We pray especially for those who live in places where the healthcare services are not strong or good. We pray that you would preserve all of their lives and health. And we pray for the well-being of their church members, especially those who live day by day, have very little income, and may not have occupation or job during this time. Lord, we pray that you would provide for these people's needs, and that they would really truly see that you are the one that provides for them, even when there is no human provision that they are able to meet for themselves. And we pray for the well-being of these Christians around the world in terms of their health as well. We pray that this would give our missionaries and those in their church good opportunities to minister one to another and to the lost around them. We think of especially of our church planters, our three church planters who are in states that have had higher incidences of this virus, Tom Parr in Washington State and Nathaniel Pringle in Ohio, and then especially Tim Richmond in New York City. We pray that as they come into contact with people, even maybe not an actual contact, but have opportunity to reach out to people, that you would give them new opportunities, opportunities they wouldn't have because of this circumstance. We pray that there would be peoples whose hearts would be softened by what you are doing in the world, or at least open to hearing from your people. And Lord, we pray that there will be gospel fruit, that there will be souls saved as a result of the outreaches that these men and their churches are able to do. We really pray for all of our missionaries, that they would have opportunities to minister better to their neighbors, maybe even to know their neighbors better, opportunities to make contacts and to reach out with the gospel. And we do pray that one of the purposes that you will have for this virus is for many people to be humbled before you and then to turn to you in salvation. Lord, we pray also for our deputies, as churches have not been meeting. They have not, in many cases, been meeting, although I believe even some have been able to have virtual meetings, and we thank you for that. But we pray that as things begin to open up, you would be able to secure meetings for them. We pray that any economic troubles that we would have in our nation would not hinder them in raising the support that they need to go to the field, but you truly would speed our deputies on their way to the field. And then, Lord, we pray for the spiritual growth of our missionaries and their children during this time. We pray that this would be a time when they and their families are closer together, where they can spend time teaching their children how to view the events of the world from your word's perspective. And we pray that this would be a time where they can also get alone with you and spend more time with you. And we pray that they would see in their families and in themselves a greater likeness to Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we do thank you for all that you have given to us, and particularly the body of believers. We thank you for the ministry that you have granted to us here and all that we've enjoyed, the labor, the love, the care. And as we come this evening, that we ask of you to direct in these days ahead, that you would grant us wisdom, leadership wisdom, and you would guide us each step, each phase, in accomplishing to your own glory your work of grace and salvation in all of our lives. We think of, as we gather together, that we would have the kind of sensitivity of your work that you're doing, and that there would be a wholeheartedness among us, and that we would not take for granted, and we would not see these things that you've given to us as a small thing, but our hearts would grow in appreciation and shown in the kind of fervent love from our hearts that we have for you and for our brethren. And so we pray that as those will give of themselves in service in the next couple of weeks, making sure the facilities are clean and the labor and overseeing all that's done, that you would guide in that. We ask too that as we seek to know your mind, as we make those transitions to work in outreach, and we think of the many Bible clubs and the nursery and the Sunday school, and we pray that in these things that there would be a safety, and there would be through these things just a gathering again of your people with that kind of fervency and knowing you and sitting at your feet. And we thank you that, Lord, you oversee every aspect of what goes on here. Enable our hearts to be ready to hear. And as each of us have the opportunity to minister one to another, that there would be a truly heeding of those things that you said in our fervency towards you, and laying aside those things that beset us, and that it would be known, your grace and your light, as a result of these things that have been taking place among us. We do ask, too, as we soon see our dear brother part, I think of Dr. Davis, that you would grant the quick selling of his house, that you would help him to bring those things together as he would make preparations and transition to this ministry that you have called him to. We do thank you for his many years here and his faithfulness. And we know you will accomplish a work through him in the place of service that he is going. And that even now that you would be arranging things to accomplish greater things. And we'll thank you for it. And two, we think of the minister of music here as we go forward, that you would guide and grant to each of us your mind and see your hand at work to accomplish a ministry here that brings you glory, one that our hearts are able to sing together with praise to your name, and whoever you have chosen that will serve here in these in this time ahead of us, that you would grant the enabling and that transition to be such that your name would be lifted up. Lord, grant that great work, that we can praise you together with one heart and one soul. Thank you, Father, for all you've given to us. Accomplish this for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, we come before you, a very needy people today. As we walk through the auditorium and see the photographs of family, church members that we haven't seen for weeks, we are reminded of the bond that you've given us to these people, the privilege it is to pray for one another. We do think now of the ones in our assembly in particular who may be suffering from this illness, especially the one who has respiratory difficulties, a young lady. We pray, Lord, that you would just intercede in her behalf. We ask that you would work in a way that would show your hand to be mighty. We thank you, Lord, for your protection over so many of the folks here who haven't had any difficulties health-wise. We do pray for those who are at high risk, the elderly, those with immune deficiencies, with cancers. Lord, we know that only you and your mercy and grace can protect these people from the risk that is all about us. Lord, we do ask that and confess that many times we have been more cavalier than we ought to have been, but we pray that we would, in love for others, do all that we can to protect those around us, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. We do thank you so much for your protecting hand. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. We thank you, as Psalm 91 says, that we don't have to be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness. And Lord, you know this is a pestilence that walks in darkness that we can't see, but it is ever present. And we thank you, Lord, that you do put your hand about your beloved. And we pray, Lord, that you would give grace and strength to those who are facing difficulties with their health. Lord, we also realize that many folks are facing unemployment, especially folks leaving high school who may have had jobs lined up, but yet in your providence you've seen fit to not make the job available. We realize, Lord, that this is an opportunity where the devil can put a seed of doubt and distrust in your providence and your care. Lord, the need is not so much for a job, but that the person would have faith to trust in you in spite of the circumstances. We ask that as these young people in particular, they go out and try to find jobs after graduating from high school or college, Lord, that you would give them the faith to trust in you. Lord, give them the earnest expectation as of a baby bird in the nest of the mother giving the worm and the food. Lord, help them to confidently expect that you will do that and keep them from falling in their faith and help them to trust completely in you. Lord, we thank you that you are like a father and mother to us. We thank you, as the psalm says, that when father and mother forsake us, you will bear us up in your arms. We thank you, Lord, for your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We ask, Lord, for any who may be isolated at this time. We pray, Lord, that you would give them an awareness of your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that you are always there. But, Lord, we don't always know it. So we ask for anyone who may be lonely that they would find in you their all in all, that you would give them all that they need emotionally and help them to find you to be all that they could ever need. And, Lord, we think of our children. Lord, as we watch live streaming and we have the privilege of seeing young children singing with their families, we are reminded of the privilege it has been through the years to minister to our children. What a privilege it's been. Lord, many times in the midst of nursery duty or children's church or VBS, we might be overwhelmed by the circumstances or by discipline. But Lord, help this to be a reminder to us of the privilege it is to give your word to such precious young people. And Lord, as mom and dad are now doing what children church workers and Sunday school teachers, Bible school teachers would do, we ask that you would give them the opportunity to use every occasion to show the little one the Lord Jesus Christ, to show them the power of God and the love of God in their lives. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, we thank you that as this time has progressed, you have given us, many of us, the opportunity to spend time with you and time in your word that we have allowed ourselves to be too busy at other times to spend time as maybe we should. So Lord, we thank you for the precious opportunities, for the privilege of being able to spend time with you and your word. So Lord, as we go through this difficult time, we ask, Lord, that we would use every difficulty as an occasion to grow closer to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray for our nation. And we know that in the book of Isaiah, where so many of us are reading now in our devotions, there is warning after warning against the nation who turns their back on you. And Lord, our nation has very clearly turned its back on you. And though there's a truth here and there's a remnant of believers, many strong believers, Lord, the world has crept into the homes of even Christians in our nation. And so we pray at a time like this where it seems like things are beginning to open back up and the economy seems to be rebounding. Lord, I pray that we would not go back to where we were, especially as Christians in this nation, that we would check our spirits and we would be cautious of where we go. But especially, Lord, for our leaders, and starting with the senior levels of government, we think of our president and the vice president. And Lord, we pray that you would surround these men with good counselors, with godly counselors. And we know that there are Christians there. We know that there is a good, strong, Bible-believing group of politicians guiding our country to some degree, Lord, and we pray that you would give them the wisdom that they need to direct our country in these times. And we pray for our national leaders and the governors, state and local leaders. Lord, we pray that you would guide them as you already have been. And you have brought our nation very low, very quickly. And you didn't even use a war. You didn't use a man-made phenomenon. You used a plague, which you warned us millennia ago would be the result of turning our backs on you. And Lord, we pray that we would be that nation that is blessed because we make you our God. And so, Lord, I pray that even as individuals within this nation, we would continually pray for our leadership and pray for the rulers over us, that you would direct them as you did Cyrus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing a stanza or two together. How about Great is Thy Faithfulness?
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
You know that last stanza, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Let's sing that one.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Hope for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Loving Lord, we pray now that you would grant to us the peace that passes understanding. And as we retire for the night, may we sleep well. And we ask that you would protect our homes from any emergency. And we pray that between now and the Lord's Day, your day, as we go about your service, that you would direct our steps in the paths of righteousness. And Lord, grant that even in a wilderness, you would prepare a table before us, and that it would be apparent to all who observe us that we truly have a great God, and that our trust in you is implicit. And we commit ourselves to you for your use. We ask in Christ's precious name, and we thank you in his name. Amen. Good night.